curing a man who couldn't speak or hear. And as soon as he healed him, he cured him, what did Jesus say? He said, "Don't speak, don't tell this to anyone." What a funny situation to be in. We would be so excited once we got healed, but then we were told not to tell anyone about it. Why would Jesus tell him this? Well, maybe one reason was the main reason that Jesus came to earth, the main reason he came to be with us was to save us all from sin and from death. And while Jesus does many miracles, he helps us in many different ways, maybe he doesn't want us to get distracted about what his main purpose is. Jesus, you know, the reason he came is because of sin, all of us are separated from God before our baptism. And through all of our sins, we remain away from him. And that's his main purpose, to bring us back. Nevertheless, Jesus heals this man. He gives them his ability to speak and to hear. Why does he do that? Well, Jesus loves him. Jesus loves him so much, just like each one of us, and he has compassion for him. And so he probably just couldn't help himself. Here, he sees this man's misery and wants to help him. And it's the same with each of us. Jesus wants us to know his personal love for us. He wants us to know that he loves us during each of our own miseries that we go through. And maybe that's why he pulled this man aside, away from the rest of the crowd. He healed him by himself. He wanted him to know that he cared about him in particular. These readings today about the poor, and the second reading we heard about treating the rich and the poor differently and how we shouldn't do that, that reading reminded me of Mother Teresa. I think about her a lot. And every time you go to one of the chapels that she set up, because she sent her sisters all around the world, even to Appalachia near the Virginia border in Kentucky, they used to have a house there. And even when you go there, you go in, and just like in all the other houses around the world, you see the tabernacle in the chapel, and right next to the tabernacle, you see the words, "I thirst." And it's the same in every missionary of charity chapel around the world, "I thirst." And those were some of Jesus' last words before he died on the cross. And he must have been really thirsty, you know, being scourged and then being crucified, losing all that blood. Imagine how thirsty he would be. But Mother Teresa said, really, most of all, what he's saying when he said, "I thirst," was he thirsts for our love. Just like he loved that man who he cured, he loves each one of us and wants us to love him in return. Jesus desires us eternally. He wants us to be with him forever in heaven. He wants us to desire more than just a healing from one of our many problems. He wants us to desire to be with him eternally also. Maybe that's why Jesus, you know, he's God, he's in heaven, and yet at the same time, he decided he's going to take on the form of bread and just sit here in the tabernacle all day long in all these churches around the world. And that's just because he loves us so much and wants to be near us. Now, despite how much we've heard that God loves us and all these different ways he shows us, many times we need to be convinced of it again. Many times we're not really that convinced. And it's not that we always have to feel in our hearts. It's not that we always have to feel God's love, because our emotions come and go. One day we'll feel great, another day we'll feel terrible, and we're not really in control of that. So it's not that we have to feel God's love all the time, but we have to have this conviction through faith that God really loves us, desires us so much. And we need to have that every day, no matter how we're feeling. Now, Mother Teresa would explain this, one way she'd explain it was that in every moment, Jesus is thirsting for us. No matter what, our whole life, whatever good or bad we've done or will do, his thirst is the same, and it's infinite. And Mother Teresa would say that our past, whatever happened in our past, that belongs to God's mercy. And our future, whatever's to come, whatever problems we're going to have, that belongs to God's providence, that he will provide for us. And the present moment, the most important of all, the present moment belongs to God's love. So each day, each of us needs to ask God to help Help us believe in his love. Even if we don't feel it, help us to believe in it. Help convince us of that. But then the next thing is that we have to respond to that love. We have to put that into action in our lives. We have to let that love that God puts into our hearts pour out. And Mother Teresa would say that we need to quench Jesus' thirst. So he's the one who does all the thirsting, and we receive that love, and it's our task to quench his thirst. And we do that in many different ways. We quench his thirst by praying to Jesus, spending time with him, by visiting him in the tabernacle whenever we have a chance, by obeying his commandments, and especially by loving the poor. That's what we hear in the second reading today, about Jesus' presence in the poor. In fact, the way we treat the poor is a reflection of how much we love God. In fact, our love for the poor is just the overflowing of our love for God. So however much we love God, love always overflows, and that overflowing is our love for the poor. St. James says that God chose those who are poor in the world to be heirs of the kingdom. Why would God choose the poor? Well, one reason might be that spiritually, all of us are poor. All of us are like beggars. Because spiritually, we all need love. And we can't just find that on our own. We're dependent on God. And there's nothing we can do. We're totally dependent, just like a beggar who's doesn't know where he's going to get any money for the next day. And maybe that's why God has this special attention to the poor. He helps us realize that we too, even if we're rich, we need God's mercy. Now, even though earlier I said that we have to believe in God's love, even though we don't feel it sometimes, well, God does show us in many ways, in a tangible way, his love for us. We see it all throughout the Gospels, the way he loves the different people he encounters. And we see it in the sacraments, too. Think of each of the sacraments. It's a tangible way that we see something before our very eyes about God coming to show his love for us. In baptism, for example, we're washed from our sins. And we see a deacon or a priest doing it, but it's actually Christ present washing away our sins. And in confirmation, it's Christ who anoints us. He's strengthening us to be a witness for him. And in the Eucharist, God is feeding us, you know, physically, something we can see and taste. And in confession, you know, we're talking with a priest in confession, but it's Jesus, through those words of the priest of absolution, Jesus saying, I forgive you, I love you. And God actually allows us to hear that with our very ears through that sacrament. And then, of course, in marriage, when a husband and wife give themselves wholly to each other, that is a physical sign of how God gives himself, Jesus gives himself fully to us, the church, totally. So through all these physical signs that God gives us, God is showing us his love. And he's showing us that each of us, our bodies are sacred because he works through our bodies in physical ways to give us his grace to save our souls. So God comes to us, he loves us in these tangible ways, and we are called to respond in tangible ways too. So how do we show our love to God? We can pray, we obey his commandments through his grace, and in tangible ways, we love each other, especially the poor. So we can love Jesus in a physical way through the other people that we meet. So today in this Mass, let's ask God for him to convince us more and more of his love, his thirst for us. And let us ask him also to show us how to love him in the poor, to show us which people in our lives where he's present, where we can quench his thirst.